This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
What Washington's new funding could do for vulnerable communities hit hardest by environmental degradation. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. House lawmakers are scheduled to vote later this week on the $740 billion package to address climate change, prescription drug prices, and a minimum corporate tax. This after Vice President Kamala Harris provided the tie-breaking vote for Democrats in the Senate on Sunday. About half the new spending is aimed at climate change, reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S., encouraging low or zero-emission technology, and helping especially vulnerable locations quell the effects of environmental change. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more, part of our ongoing coverage of the emerging law.
The bill provides tens of billions of dollars to mitigate climate change while at the same time trying to redress environmental inequity. Columbia climate economist Gernot Wagner explains what that means.
It is about climate change hitting the poor the most, right? The rich will adapt, the poor will suffer.
Wagner says low-income and minority communities are more at risk from extreme heat, for example, because of poor housing and the lack of air conditioning and green spaces. Sanjay Patnuk at the Brookings Institution says environmental inequality will be addressed with billions in block grants to, for instance,
reduce air pollution at ports. Oftentimes, communities that are vulnerable are located close to polluting sources.
There'll also be funding for local governments to buy cleaner running school and transit buses and garbage trucks, and tax incentives for renewable energy manufacturers to set up in disadvantaged communities. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Checking markets, Dow futures are up slightly, 12 points. NASDAQ futures are down 0.5%. The 10-year interest rate is up this morning, 2.8%. The dollar is down, with a euro costing 102.3. A new survey from the Federal Reserve shows consumers are a little less worried about inflation ahead, perhaps as retail gas prices drop. A key part of higher prices in general is all the stuff on order that has been delayed by COVID lockdowns in China and beyond, then Russia's war in Ukraine, messing with grain and crimping the supply of natural gas and crude oil. And when it comes to the broken supply chain, there could be more challenges to come. Scott Linsicum is Director of General Economics and Trade at the libertarian-leaning Cato Institute.
We have the implementation of gig worker law in California called AB5 that essentially bans a common owner-operator model of trucking that could affect about 70,000 truckers in California. Compounding matters on the West Coast are labor negotiations between port unions and the ports for the entire West Coast. Both sides promise that things are going to be okay, but there are a lot of contentious issues that could bog down talks. And then finally, are labor negotiations for rail and freight rail.
Linsicum spoke about these ongoing labor concerns with my colleague, Sabri Benishore.
So you've got a problem facing truckers, you've got labor issues at ports, and you've got a potential strike on the rail system. Is anyone trying to get out in front of these issues at this point? I mean, if we see them coming.
Yeah, the Biden administration, to its credit, has been involved in the port negotiations and has, by law, is involved in the rail negotiations. The fact is that the administration is closely aligned with the labor unions involved in these negotiations. And so that's going to put the administration in a bit of a difficult position when it comes to potentially having to resolve negotiations where the labor unions don't want to give in on certain issues. And then on AB 5, the administration actually has broadly supported AB 5 and a national legislation called the PRO Act. And so they certainly are not going to get involved there.
You know, on the question of automation in ports, that seems like a tough nut to crack because automation is at the, you know, core of how productive these ports can be. But at the same time, there's a great fear that it would displace jobs. Do you see a way out of that one?
There is a way out, but it could prove difficult. The fact is that the port companies have been trying to convince labor that additional automation might not kill many jobs at all because it will actually increase the amount of business that the ports have. But that's going to be a really hard sell to the labor unions that have really staked out a very hard position that any type of automation is necessarily a job killer.
How likely do you think it is that all these three issues would sort of converge into some sort of supply chain perfect storm?
I don't think that we're going to see a worst case scenario. The stakes are simply too high. You know, with so much American attention devoted to supply chains and devoted to port issues, with the Biden administration well aware of these issues, and with November midterm elections coming up, almost everyone has an incentive to try to resolve these issues. But the fact is that there are a lot of disagreements. And when you're dealing with three different issues, not simply one, there's always the chance that one or more of them go off the rails. No pun intended.
Scott Linsicum is Director of General Economics at the Cato Institute. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Speaking with Marketplace's Sabri Benishore. And the Wall Street Journal is reporting that a new U.S. law targeting human rights abuses in China's Xinjiang region is slowing the supply of solar panels to the U.S. The region makes about half the panels in the world. The Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act went into effect this summer. The report says customs agents and firms are still trying to figure out what is legal and what is not. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.